Test.
Yeah,
I did. I turned in that. Yep. Test. Okay, thank you. Thank you. break from the heat, and the rain could hold off just a little bit, couldn't it? You know, I went out and pulled some weeds out in the vegetable garden last night, and you kind of sunk in, you know? So, okay. Announcements, we just have a few here this morning. August 13th, Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today, there is a church picnic out at Ron and June Potter's house. They live, Halverson Road, just a little south of Port Sanilac. Asking to please bring a dish to pass and bring your own lawn chair. So very kind of Ron and June to invite all of us, and we look forward to a good time out there with them. So mark your calendars. Our discernment committee has been formed, and what it will be is prayer and hymns, and we will have some speakers. That'll be going on through the month of August. We'll let you know as soon as we have our dates set. Our committee will meet this week, and we'll get that information to you as soon as we can. Our surveys from our July 16th meeting, they are due today. There is a ballot box in the narthex right there by the table, that tall black canister. Again, those surveys are due today, so if you have them with you, please put them in there. Okay. And then I'd like to ask Bobby to come forward. She's got a little announcement she would like to make.
This coming Friday, the mission is having a Friday night concert. And it starts at 6 o'clock, and they also want to have a bake sale. So anyone that is inclined to do some baking, cookies mostly, if you don't want to bring them down to the courthouse early, you can drop them off at my house. I live right behind the post office. Okay? Thanks. And again, thank you for supporting the Arts Council and coming out and enjoying it with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby. It's been nice, the music all summer here going on, and please do remember to, if you can, try to help out with the mission, because that is a very worthy cause. So thank you. Do we have any prayer concerns for anybody? Here comes my, okay, our nephew, Blaine Henderson, this would be Ivan's brother, RJ Henderson's son. Blaine had a burst diverticuli about 2 months ago, and he underwent surgery. He had a temporary colostomy. They took him back to surgery this past Friday, reversed the colostomy, and he's in Port Huron Hospital. So, going to be there about 10 days, kind of a long recovery. So please, if we could remember to have Blaine in our prayers. Also, our friend Ron and Becky, their daughter Tracy, is after a double mastectomy. She's undergoing chemo and radiation treatments for breast cancer. So if we can remember to lift her up in prayer, we would appreciate it. And I know that Ron and Becky would appreciate it as well. Bob Hemer, it's good to see you. We're glad you're feeling better over there. Okay. Our birthdays, okay, and anniversaries. July 31st, we have Kayla Norton. August 2nd, we have Dan Haynes. And August 4th, we have Melissa Ogden. So anybody else with a birthday that's not on the list this coming week? Nobody's fessing up. Okay. All right. If we could sing happy birthday to all of these folks, that would be good. Anniversaries. Any anniversaries this week? None. Okay, I see we got a few coming up later in August, but just not this first week. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, all right.
Surely the presence.
Sure. Okay, if everyone would like to join in, we will sing, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. Good morning and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Linda Schramm will be bringing us our morning message this morning. I am Amy Henderson. I am the worship leader for this morning. Our alcalate this morning was Bert, and he brought the light of Christ into the sanctuary, and our candles are growing brightly. Our first praise song is number 328, Surely the Presence. We sang that, and so our next we will move on to 405, Seek Ye First. I'd like to ask the congregation to please stand as they are able. Our call to worship this morning, I'd like to ask the congregation to please respond in the bold face type as listed in the bulletin. God called Abraham and Sarah and promised to bless them. God called Isaac and Jacob as heirs of that promise. God calls us to join them as heirs with the faithful.
Gracious God, we gather here today under your care.
Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 158, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Okay, I'll be doing the children's message kind of as part of the whole service. This is going to be a different type of service, so once we get to that part, so I'll be talking to the kids later. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 105. Verses 1 through 11, and this is taken from the New International Version of the Bible. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel, and as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Praise the Lord.
Will you pray with me for the morning prayer? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, for the gift of your Son, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lead us through the trials that we have during our lives, the suffering and sorrow, the challenges and struggles, the tired times and the dark places. Be with those who weep or cannot sleep, for those who have no peace, for those who seek release. Lead us daily, O Lord, with grace, with love, with peace. Fill us with hope, with patience, with stamina to meet either trials of each day. Transform us in your image, in your Son, in your name. Transform us to grow, to understand, to see. Transform us that we can be made whole, and in wholeness may we be the hands and heart of Christ. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our special music this morning is Melissa Ogden.
Singing One Spirit, One Church, to help unite the Methodist Church together as we grow in faith, love, and hope, and as family, friends, and community.
Melissa. It's wonderful. Our scripture reading for this morning is, get out my open bulletin, Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, which is the parable of the mustard seed, and then 44 through 52, the parable of the treasure. He told another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough. And then the parable of the treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one very precious pearl, he went and sold all that he owned and bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that people threw into the lake and gathered all kinds of fish. When it was full, they pulled it to the shore where they sat down and put the good fish together into containers, but the bad fish they threw away. That's the way it will be at the end of the present age. The angels will go out and separate the evil people from the righteous people, and will throw the evil ones into a burning furnace. The people there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For this message today, it would be helpful if you have your bulletins handy. Just to be out, because I'm going to be referring to the bulletin. And let me tell you how I came about to give the particular message or information I'm going to give. Towards the end of June, when I found out that this was the Sunday that Lisa was going to be on vacation, before she had an opportunity to ask me or anybody else, I just said, would you like to fill the pulpit for me? Since I've had this mobility issue, I haven't had the opportunity to do it, and so I'm feeling pretty good, and I was willing to do it. And she said, I think she was kind of surprised that she didn't have to ask that I was offering to do it. But, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, I had no idea what I'd even be giving a message on, thinking I would try and go along with the lectionary. Lisa's pretty much a lectionary preacher, and you'll find out if you don't know what I'm talking about by the time I get through the message today, maybe you will. So I knew that the scripture lesson would be a parable, so I left the structure of the service with what it would be on an ordinary Sunday. But this won't be an ordinary Sunday because I'm not a preacher. As I often say when I give morning messages, I'm not a preacher, I'm an educator. Many of you know that. I've retired after more than 30 years in education. But sometime in the sanctuary, sitting over there, I think it was maybe the second Sunday in July, I don't remember, one of our praise songs was Here We Are to Worship. And I just kind of felt that kind of come over to me and thought, yeah, maybe that's what I'll give a message on, since not only am I lay leader here, I'm also chair of worship committee. Maybe we'll talk about worship here in this space. And so I'm going to be telling you what I understand about worship and the way we do it in this particular congregation. Kind of the form we use is a very United Methodist type thing, but there's no rules and regulations in local churches that tell pastors whether they have to use lectionary or not, what they need to preach on or whatever. Pretty much pastors are in control of the local church. And so I find it, and maybe you've noticed through the years as we've changed pastors, sometimes the order of worship will change quite drastically right away. And sometimes when pastors come, they kind of wait to kind of see what the congregation is comfortable with, and they kind of tweak it along the way. And Lisa's been one of those who's kind of changed things a little bit. So it doesn't seem really huge when we change pastors from one to the other. And so I decided I would talk about some things I have learned about or think I understand about worship in this congregation. I sometimes say, maybe in a teasing sense, but not always completely teasing, that you know, I'm still a newcomer here. I've only been coming here 48 years. When I had enough guts to walk into a church where I didn't know anybody, you have to understand, I was raised in a very large United Methodist Church. Back in the 50s, probably the third largest in the conference. Membership about 3,400 members. In two services on Sunday, there would probably be 1,500 people in attendance. So in a large church like that, you can kind of walk in and be anonymous if you want to be anonymous. But knowing when you walk into a church this size, you can't walk in anonymous. People know you, can either greet you or don't greet you or whatever. We have a reputation of going through times when we're really very friendly congregation, and we go through times when we're not as friendly or whatever. So I thought I would share that some of that from but I've discovered as the way we worship, we kind of have an agenda, a bulletin. I can think of very few Sundays when maybe something's been wrong with the coffee or something, and we've come and not had a bulletin. And a lot of us get a little shaky when we can't kind of watch and see what's happening ahead. I know some people like to find their hymns ahead or whatever, and so I just kind of started at the top with the theme, Here We Are to Worship. Going through the bulletin, what's in here, how it adds to our worship, knowing that this isn't the complete aspect of worship, because I find when I wake up most any morning, but particularly on Sunday mornings, I'm not one of those that has to decide whether I'm going to come to church or not. If I'm well enough to get out of bed, I will be here, type thing, if I don't have other obligations. And so I think my worship starts every morning when I wake up, and God is good enough to give me not only good health, but enough energy and of recent enough mobility to even get out and move around the house. And so I kind of go how I see worship reflected in this ball of this common piece of paper that we see every day. So first of all, the first thing we see is Sandusky First United Methodist Church. That's who we are. That's our official name. And for me, I've been either a Methodist, United Methodist all my life. So even seeing a bulletin with that information gives me automatically a sense of comfort that I feel that I'm going to be comfortable in the worship style that's in a United Methodist church. but actually what goes in a bulletin, as we change pastors, is the pastor's call. If they come and don't like the order of worship, because they're the administrator of this congregation, they could change whatever they want. Many of them really want to know the congregation before they start making many changes. So, okay, so so the bulletin contains our order of worship. The first thing we see is our vision statement, love, care, share like Christ. That is something that our ad board of our particular church probably adopted between 5 and 10 years ago, when it was a big thing to have to have a statement of what we believe. And so after much discussion, it was the laity of this congregation to decide that that's the vision we want the world to see of who we are. We want to show that we do love, we do care, we do want to share like Christ. The mission statement comes from our denomination. It's set up by the General Conference, that august body that has met. I looked it up for a different message. It's met every 4 years since 1784. Except in 2020. So I think I did the math, and it was like more than 40 times there has been a general conference of this denomination that has happened. And I was just surprised through all the wars and things that we've been through, the only time it didn't happen was when COVID shut kind of the world down. I thought that was interesting to discover. As I say, it's created and adopted by the General Conference, which meets every 4 years. General Conference is half laity and half clergy. Bishops have no voice, no vote at General Conference, but they preside. It's a meeting, and they are the presiders. They are scheduled, and they take turns presiding. I think the fact that it's up there and it's listed in our bulletin there is, I think it's important enough to tell our radio audience what we strive to be and what we strive to do. And so that of late, and I'll talk about this later, we don't start our official service with our order of worship until the radio audience joins us, radio congregation joins us. We also see that at the top there, we also see the date of the service. But besides the date, we also see where in the liturgical year we are. And I'll be talking about the liturgical year a little bit later. So we're on the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. In fact, the liturgical year is a church calendar year, not the calendar that we live our lives by, which starts with Advent. And there are 7 or 8 parts of the church year. Starts with Advent, then comes Christmas, then comes Epiphany, then comes Lent, then comes Holy Week, Easter, Pentecost, and then so we're still ending up Pentecost, and quite soon, I don't know right off how many Sundays that includes, and then after the end of Pentecost, before we get to Advent, is called Ordinary Time. And Ordinary Time is symbolized by the pyramids that we use and have been used towards the end of Pentecost with the green pyramids that we use. And we'll use them probably through most of the fall until we get to some of the other liturgical seasons. And that's when the color of the pyramids, the altar cloths and things will change according to what season we're on in. And somebody in this congregation has the responsibility to make sure the right color is on at the right time. Also in our bulletin, as you look at, you see those two little kind of stick-like figures there in that gray part. Denotes, in the directions say, denotes to please stand as you are able. And as you are able, I think is very, very important that you understand that. If you're at a point in your life where standing is uncomfortable, don't feel you have to stand because everybody else has. Because if you're uncomfortable when you're in the process of worshiping, it's hard to worship when you're thinking, oh, my legs hurt or my back hurts or whatever. So if it's not comfortable to stand, sit. When my spouse is here, he's at a point in his life where standing is not comfortable at all. So he sits through the service. And then we come to the things that are done before we go on the radio, prayer concerns. I noticed we didn't have yellow forms on. I don't know if we're out of the yellow forms or not, but usually we want prayer concerns to be on the yellow forms. That way the liturgist or worship leader, either name they mean the same thing, can sort them out and do them as she or he feels appropriate in starting out that part of the service. It's helpful to have them written, not to have prayer concerns from the congregation. Not that we're not interested if you don't think of it in time, but I know as I'm aging, and I usually sit on the side over by Friendship Hall, my hearing isn't as good. And a lot of times I'll hear what the concern is, but I have no idea on who it's for because the name has been said first, and I don't know. And so what I very often have to do is, thanks to Kevin, our service is on Facebook pretty early after the service or early afternoon. As I'm checking my bulletin, I need to know. I'll listen to that to find out who that part is actually on the Facebook listening to it. So you can find out what you couldn't hear, which might have been mentioned in the sanctuary. And as I'm sitting over there trying to hear, I always have my pen in hand. And when I hear things that are announced, they're always up in the corner of my bulletin, and so I have that. I'll be talking about that how that becomes part of my worship life beyond the service here. Okay. And some of the requests that are, we want to make sure they're done before we're on the radio, because some are intimate enough that we want them for the in-house congregation to know, but we don't want the whole community to know as far as our broadcast goes. So we have some things that are appropriate just for this congregation, and some announcements and prayer concerns are appropriate for the entire listening congregation. Okay, and then after we try and get the prayer concerns, and usually announcements are done before birthdays, and so usually when we do birthdays, a lot of times if we're on the air, we'll only do first names first, only, or depending, but so some of it is for just the in-house congregation, some of it's for everybody who's a part of the listening congregation also. So, and you probably noticed, as we kind of balance out things, we try to not have dead space, airspace in the congregation as we wait for our on-air light to come. And so this morning it worked really well when we started with the first praise song a couple times through and lighting the candles. And then by that time our light was on, and so that our worship leader could introduce the participants in this morning's worship to the listening congregation. And then it worked out perfectly. Then we still had one praise song to start our worship before we came to the call to worship. Ideally, we like to come on the radio right about the time the prelude music is coming for the acolyte to light the candles coming into the sanctuary, the acolyte bringing the light of Christ into the sanctuary. Not that Christ is not here already, but it's a visual reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world. And during the year when we have our kids acolyting, I think it's really exciting, and I hope you've noticed that when they bring the light of Christ in, they always come down the center aisle and light the candles. And then when they go out with the candle lighters not lit, then they use the side aisles. And that's kind of a visual reminder that they're not taking, at that point in the service, they're not taking the light of Christ out of the, they're just getting back where they need to be. I think it's just visually interesting, and I hope people notice some of those things about it. And as the candles of light are lit, this is a visual reminder for us, as it says, to quiet our minds and prepare our hearts for worship. Sometimes this may come before or after the praise songs, depending on timing and the joining the radio audience or congregation joining us. At one time, almost forever, I don't remember, some of you remember, that worship started here at 11 o'clock, probably since long before I started going here nearly 50 years ago. By the time I started going here, we were already on the radio. But those of you who know how the local radio stations work, you have to have the 11 o'clock news and the weather. And then at that time, there used to be an announcement from the radio station that now we'll join the United Methodist Church in progress. And that was pretty much the standing operating procedure until things changed drastically when COVID hit not only this area, but the world. At that time, the congregation of the church was not in the sanctuary because the churches were closed. The only people in the sanctuary during that time would be the pastor giving the message, keyboard person giving us music, and Kevin keeping us on the air, making sure it all worked. So many of you may have been part of the parking lot congregation where there were either speakers outside where you could sit outside your car even and listen to the service, or stay in your car and listen to it on the radio, or we usually were just at home listening it to on the radio. That's when the worship committee decided we really needed to change the opening of worship. We really had to make the joining of the radio congregation an important part of the whole service, because that's the only people who were are part of the service. There were no people in the sanctuary at that time, and so that's when we really changed the beginning of the service, and that's why we've hung on to that. Even though we're now able to meet in our sanctuary again, we do wait and have the radio congregation join us at the same time that we're all starting here. Okay. And then if things have gone according to plan, by then we do a praise song or two. Usually these are more contemporary music or more chorus-like, kind of to set a tone for worship. Or sometimes they're picked out to emphasize what worship is going to focus on that particular day. And through all of those things, you see in your bulletin, you've got those little people standing there for one, two, three, four things, which is, for people who it's hard to stand, that's a long time to stand. We've toyed with trying to figure out how to change it so there wasn't such a long time to stand, but it's kind of those things of standing for the sing songs and such, the only thing we might want to sit for would be the prayer, which isn't that long, and then stand. So that seemed too up and down. So anytime that those four people standing there where it's appropriate to stand and you aren't comfortable standing, feel comfortable to make yourself comfortable. Sit how you need to be, whether it's during the hymn, whether it's during the prayer. It's more important that you're comfortable and able to worship than what the directions might suggest that you do. And then we have a call for worship. Pastor Lisa has picked out these that are our leader and people back and forth in liturgy style. I like that because it involves everybody in participating rather than just listening to a worship leader maybe read a call to worship. And then comes an opening prayer by the pastor, and then opening hymn. At one time, rather than calling it opening hymn, back when I think we were maybe a little more formal church service, back when I began going here, we called it a processional hymn. Because at that time, some of you may remember, in the 9 months we had a choir, usually the choir was gathering in the narthex, and after a little bit of opening, then the choir would process, and the worship leader and the pastor, usually either before, I guess after the choir, and then everybody would end up in the chancel area of the church. I remember being part of the choir. One of the reasons we stopped processing is very often if the choir's in the narthex waiting to process, we're kind of in the way of people trying to get into the sanctuary. Caused kind of a log jam in the narthex, and so it just was smoother if we dropped that part of the choir actually processing. Until Pastor Lisa came, usually we did have a pastor who processed, maybe with the worship leader, but with Lisa's mobility issues, we don't do that part anymore. And this might be more information you want to know, but in the hymns in our hymnal are put in there by category. And so most processional hymns will come at the beginning of the hymns, maybe starting 57 is the first hymn in the book. And so usually between hymns number 57 and hymn 194 would be hymns that are kind of appropriate for opening hymns, you know, thanking God, being connecting with Jesus Christ and those kinds of things. Okay. So there's if you ever check in the beginning of your hymnal, you'll see them all listed, because seasonals are separate. You'll notice when we get to Christmas time, all the Christmas carols are kind of in a certain section together. All the Easter hymns are in a section together. Okay, and then after our opening hymn, we've been having the children's message, and so this is what I was talking about with children's message. I said we may use the children's message whether or not we have kids in the sanctuary. And usually a children's message, if it's given by the pastor, is based on something that is going to be part of the sermon she's talking about. For me, I'm just talking about children's message because it's part of the whole order of worship, and so this is where the children's part comes. But when the pastor gives it, it's on the theme of what the worship's going to be generally, but it's on the children's level. And very often through the years, many of us find it's on our level as well. And sometimes we get more visual references to the service of the day through the children's message than we might from the pastor's message. And we do want to be welcoming for kids in our service, and so we always have bags for the kids to get and keep themselves occupied on Sunday mornings during the service. And sometimes there's things in there that will refer to the particular service we're on, too. Some year, depending on the church programming, some years we have a junior church where kids are dismissed to go to a junior church. Sometimes we've had Sunday school during the service. It just varies sometimes from the programming that the church is doing at that time. I've noticed that some churches I've done pulpit supply in have like someplace in the sanctuary, like maybe in the front area here, have like a table with crayons and things on, with activities for kids to quietly come up to a corner and do kids' activities. So that might be one of the things we might talk about in our congregation, or even a table on the edge of Friendship Hall where kids can kind of go over and quietly have their own time, but a time to do things especially designed for them. Okay, so then we've gotten to the Old Testament reading, and I'll try to do these all together. We have an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading in our service. These, the pastors we most often have had here are what we call lectionary pastors. Lectionary is a set of readings designed on a three-year cycle where there's an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, an epistle reading, and a psalm reading. There's four of them. And most pastors who are lectionary pastors will take a look at the four readings that are put together for that particular Sunday and kind of see if they can see a theme between them and kind of pick out their message based on some of those passages. Most often it's the Old Testament and the New Testament reading. Sometimes it says today it was the Psalm. The lectionary is something that developed in my research, came out of the Catholic Church, I don't know how long ago, but maybe in the 70s was developed through the National Council of Churches and Protestant Churches. And so most mainline Protestant churches, as well the Catholic churches, will use the same readings on the same Sundays, which I find very, very great that sometimes we have many differences in what we believe, but we can all agree on the certain lectionary readings, and I think that's very powerful in the way God works through all of us. Goes on a three-year cycle. Okay, then we get to the pastoral prayer. I usually like to call it a morning prayer because I'm not a pastor. But it's a prayer designed to intercede for the church's sin and a public petition for the church to immediate needs or whatever. Sort of trying to connect the world and the church to each other and their needs, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And then probably running out of time, but I decided to kind of explore a little bit into the whole debts and trespasses sign system. Most of you know when we say the Lord's Prayer, in pretty much Wesleyan denominations at least, they always use Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But I'm sure y'all of you have been in certain worship services where they use debt and debtors instead. And in fact, if you look at the back of our hymnal, when they first put this our hymnal out in 1989, there's an ecumenical version that just uses the word sins instead. And I was at a conference once where I heard the editor of the things in our hymnal that he was in charge of in the hymnal. And his surprise was that the denomination hadn't picked up the more general word sins instead of trespasses and debts. And I think the debts is more a Calvinistic term, but as Bible and Scripture gets translated, and the translation from the Greek ended up with the word debts, within particularly the English word, debts seem to be more a financial thing. And so a different Greek, there were two different words for debts and trespasses in Greek, and when they used one rather than the other, it seemed more a financial thing. And so I think they switched over, so whoever they were, but within this denomination, and probably started in the Anglican Church of England, switched to the word trespasses, so it stayed away from the whole financial thing, but just the impending on somebody else's territory or whatever, trespassing against somebody. So I had never looked that up before, and I thought that was fairly interesting. Okay, then we get to the message, and that's what I'm giving you here. It's not very a spiritual message, but it's, I think, being part of this denomination, things maybe you ought to know about this denomination that you'll find very similar in most all United Methodist churches and in many other Protestant denominations, too, that keep us comfortable. But in looking up things, one thing I came across is, why do we sing the doxology rather than just pray it? And this one said that by singing the doxology, it's like it's encompassing and involving more people. At its core, the doxology is both a hymn of praise to God from whom all blessings flow. It is sung during the time of offering to say thank you to God. And so I think that's pretty evident, and it focuses us up on who God is and what God has done for us and what our response should be. And then we end up with a closing hymn, sometimes calling a sending forth hymn. So it should be a piece of music that's picked out to send us out with a challenge to take with us to live out through the next week. Following with the benediction. And a benediction is a traditional close to the worship service as a word of blessing. Literally, benediction means a good way of saying the words spoken by the pastor and addressed to the congregation. It is used to dismiss the congregation at the end of worship, except Lisa has then added, thus be the tie after that. And that this all brings us to the closure of the worship service. So I challenge you to take your bulletin with you as an act of worship when you leave the service. And maybe put it with your, if you're a devotional reader in the morning or upper room reader, put it with your upper room things, because in it you have the thoughts and prayers that are listed in the bulletin. And I also have ones that are listed on the top of mine that are listed in the congregation, so that it could be a part of my worship, not only each morning as I do my my private devotions. So I challenge you to take the bulletin, to remember it isn't just an agenda of what we're doing, but it's an act of worship, sharing what coming to church is all about. So at this time, I guess I'm ready to have the ushers come. We won't do the modern affirmation, we're running late, so. Yep, go ahead, let's just come in. Perhaps just catch all of it in case I'm running short. Me run short when I'm talking church? Okay. Gracious God, we thank you for these tithes and offerings, given that your work may go on in the world. May we be blessed by the giving, and may others be blessed by us. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The closing amen. Hymn is 583, You Are the Seed, our challenge hymn. Gracious God, we've gathered here today to worship, and we've learned more about worship than we might have known before. As we leave the sanctuary today, as we enter the world, let us gather and be ready to serve the world in your name. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.